Search the scriptures, for in them you think ye have eternal life. But they are they which what? Testify of me. The words of Christ. Red letter words. You know, some folks put real importance on those red letter words, don't they? But you know, those black words are just as important. All of them's important. The Word of God's important. The Word of God is given us to teach us what we need to know. Now, we think we know what we need to know, don't we? But the Lord really knows what we need to know. I've had a few times I've thought I knew what I wanted, needed to preach on and get to church, and that changes. Sometimes, you know, everything stays in line. But then you get to that point sometimes, like I was relating to the brother this morning. You have Bible flip. Preacher has Bible flip. I mean, preachers recognize what I'm talking about. Just looking for something that just kind of gets a hold of you to speak on. I did that one Sunday afternoon, leaving New Beulah Church in Hazelhurst. I had a 4 o'clock appointment at a nursing home in Ashburn. And driving home, my wife drove home and I flipped. Got home, I had about 45 minutes before I had to go up to the nursing home. So I set the kitchen table and I flipped. Got to the nursing home and while just having the song service, I was mentally going through different things, thinking. When I stood up, Ephesians 2:1 come on my mind, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. I didn't understand. I mean, preach this at the nursing home here. This lady come in. Just come in, and she had been a customer of mine in the hardware store for a long number of years, and she's now in a nursing home. I looked over, and she spoke to her, and she said, "I've never got to hear you." And so she come, and first time being there, and that's what come on my mind. I wouldn't have chose that subject. But that was what was on my mind, so I spoke on that subject, that passage of Scripture. Looked over and big tears was coming in her eyes. And she sat there all the time I was speaking, there's tears coming to her eyes. And she told me how much she had enjoyed that. A week and a half later, the telephone rung and her daughter says, "Jay, would you take part in our mother's funeral?" So she passed away. And says, "Ever since she heard you preach that message, that is all she's talked about until she passed away." The Lord's able to bring the message we need to hear. Even sometimes when preachers are a little discouraged in bringing that message. If you would, this morning for a little while, I want to discuss some scriptures with you. The Apostle Paul would deal with this, and I'll go to it, if Lord's willing, if we have time. But first, I want to go back over into the book of Exodus and in the here in the book of Exodus, the 26th chapter. The 14th verse, "And thou shalt make a covering for the tent of ram skins, dyed red, and a covering above of badger skins." I want to look at that, the covering above of badger skins. Why in the world would they be putting badger skins on the outside of the tabernacle? You know, I got to thinking about that, and it just got me thinking. And I'm a why person. Are y'all why people? I just got questions always. I mean, that why? If it was God's purpose to save as many as it was possible to save, why? If salvation was by man's personal decision, why? If God was offering personal wealth now and eternal saving later, why? If Christ's coming was an appeal to mankind, why? Why? You ever thought about those? Why? Why would Jesus Christ say, "Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, but they are they which testify of me"? What he has told us is that outer covering of badger skins was testifying of him. Testifying of him. Now let's think about that. 1 John tells us that he came unto his own, and his own received him not. Of course, we love to go on down to all through the 13th verse, but I'm not going to get tied up. He came unto his own, but his own received him not. Why? Why did they not receive him? You know, that's what we need to ask. Why did they not receive him? You know, I'm a preacher, and I always notice churches when I travel. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. This morning, on the way over here, I saw a lot of church buildings that your building just don't hold any cotton to them. But I come here. Why? Why did I come here? Why did you come here? Because it was what is on the inside of those buildings. It's what's on the inside. And see, that outside covering covered something very grand on the inside of that tabernacle. First off, you had the Ark of the Covenant. Now, that don't look too impressive, you know, just have a little box. And have that little, just a little box typify Jesus Christ, just a shittim wood box overlaid with gold, typifying the person of Jesus Christ. The two-natured man is pictured in that simple picture. You know, the Lord just not a complicated folk. Person sometimes, is he? Just a simple box. And the Lord give that to typify the Lord Jesus Christ, the man Christ Jesus. In the beginning was the Word, but the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And that word that was there means to exist. In the beginning existed the Word. The Word existed with God, and the Word existed as God. But that Word existed as God, you come to the 14th verse 1 John, and that Word was made flesh, caused to be flesh. And he had pictured that in the tabernacle in the wilderness all those years before, that his Son was coming and he was going to have one nature of the Shittim wood. See, the Shittim wood was known as the incorruptible wood. The incorruptible wood. And Jesus Christ was the incorruptible man. He was impeccable.
Yes.
So we see on the inside is a beautiful picture of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. On top of that was the mercy seat. That's not picturing the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's picturing the purpose of the Lord Jesus Christ. The purpose, the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then you had the other instruments. You had the table of showbread. Jesus Christ is the bread of life. Then you had the candlestick. And by the way, the Lord gives us a real, real good point we need to hold on to in discussing the candlestick. Now, we generally use the feminine for to describe things. A car, you got a car out here. But she is a beaut. You ever heard that? She is a beautiful thing. You know, describe everything by the feminine gender. But when the Lord was giving instruction for that candlestick, he says, his bows. All that, everything was his. You go back and tie it into Genesis 22, and you will find it was his there. It was the male gender. That is telling you that it's not going to be a he, she, God coming into this world. It is going to be a male. It is going to be a man. Sin entered into this world by one man, Adam. And let me tell you something. The eradication of the power and of sin was by one man, Jesus Christ. You see, it's important. Those little words like that are important, aren't they? There you have that. Then, of course, you have the golden altar. Beautiful stuff inside, and the interior of that. Just think about that white, beautiful, white is white linen, which pictures the righteousness of Jesus Christ. In Revelation 19, that linen is pictured as the dress of the saints. That's the and that is describing your righteousness. That is a promise of righteousness. There it is. Then you have the goat hair's curtain. You know, that old goat, he was generally the sin offering, wasn't he? But you notice there was 10 panels in that interior on that linen curtain. But here you have 11 panels. little odd number, wasn't it? But now, six, you know what the number six is, don't you? You know what it is? That's the number of man. But five is the number of grace. And you have the five joined to the six. You have the five panels joined to the six panels. And that is pointing to us, the one is coming, is going to be one who is going to save by grace. Man is going to be saved by grace. But why? Why put an old badger skin curtain over the top of the other curtains? Why put a badger skin over the top of the very curtain of the ram skin dyed red? The substitution. That's what that one teaches us about the substitution. That here was going to be the substitution. God is going to send. Abraham told Isaac that God will provide himself a ram. God provided his son as a substitute. That is pictured for us there. That's all testifying of Christ. But then, all those beautiful things and all inside, but then he puts just a badger skin outside, just old plain skin. It's probably a grayish color. And then the outside a wall or all the way around the enclosure was just white linen dressed. Now, I want to ask you a question. What do you think all those around and about there that were not the children of Israel, what did they think about that? You think they were impressed with it? Were they impressed with Christ when he came into the world? You reckon the Lord was telling you something right off? I don't believe the Lord was trying to impress folks, do you? I appeal, Lord must not have counted I appeal too important, had he? But I appeal, we know what happened with I appeal, don't we? Eve was appealed through sight. But now Eve was deceived. But Adam, I don't believe a thing happened to Eve until she handed to her husband, because then their eyes were opened. When Adam partook, their eyes were open. But it started with the eye appeal. Lot thought a lot of the eye appeal, didn't he? Lot looked to what? The well-watered plains of the east. I mean, now that's the way to go. Now that's the beautiful spot. That's going to be the prosperous place to go. Did Lot find prosperity in the well-watered plains of the east? No, he found right the opposite, didn't he? He found that he vexed his righteous soul daily. Abraham took that which didn't look so good. Who was blessed? Abraham was blessed. You know, even when the children of Israel were marching around Jericho, they were told not to let eye appeal affect them. Don't let your eye appeal affect you. Everything is to be destroyed except the gold and the silver. That's to be brought into the treasury. But there's one saw a beautiful Babylonian garment. Now, no telling how many years his wife has been wearing the same dress, traveling through that wilderness. Do you reckon that woman wanted a new dress? How many women here would be satisfied with the same dress day in, day out for all those years like that? I want a new suit every once in a while. Now, not as often as my wife wants a dress, I tell you. But even I want something like that once in a while. But that lady had been 40 years in the wilderness not having a new dress. Here's a beautiful dress. And her husband, Ahithophel, got him. He looked and he took. He looked and he took. See, that's what Ahithophel does. It's what appeals to the eye we take. Why are we a church as we are today? Why are we so often not considered very much? Because of eye appeal. But see, the important thing is, don't be caught up in the eye appeal. Find out what's inside. Find out what's inside. Find out what's preached. I could say a lot on this, but there's a lot to go today. You know, the Lord just didn't seem like a person that just, as he walked shores of time, he didn't seem like he was he had too much care for impressing people, did he? He didn't seem to be wanting to impress people. Let's let the Lord introduce a few of his friends here. Mark's Gospel. And Simeon, he surnamed Peter. And James, the son of Zacchaeus, and John, the brother of James. And he surnamed them Boanerges, which is the sons of thunder. I want y'all to meet these two. They're the sons of thunder. How many people do you think would really be impressed with it? You know, meet the sons of thunder and Andrew and Philip and Bartholomew. And now here's Matthew. I really want you to meet Matthew. Now the Lord really impressed a bunch of people here, couldn't he? Matthew, the publican, the one who collected taxes for Rome. I want you to meet my friend that collects taxes for Rome. You know, I don't believe the Lord read the book that Peel wrote, How to Win Friends and Influence People. Just don't believe he read that book. Just don't believe he read it. Matthew, the tax collector, and Thomas, and James, the son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus. Oh yeah, sure, he wants you to meet Simon here. Simon the Canaanite. Now Simon, he's in the Canaanites and they're plotting to overthrow Rome. Matthew's collecting taxes for them. Here it is. Simon here, the Canaanite, he's planning to overthrow Rome. And both of them's close friends with the Lord. Close friends with the Lord. He just didn't seem to impress people, did he? Go and study their occupations. Fishermen. Just simple, common men. That's who the Lord appealed to. That's who the Lord appealed to. Who heard the Lord gladly? The common people heard him gladly. Yes. Now, I think I'll take just a minute and go over here in Philippians 2. Philippians 2. Verse 4. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Then verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. What Paul is telling you is, here's the mind of Christ Jesus. You want to wonder? Here's the mind of Christ Jesus. Watch it. Who being in the form of God, who being the very essence of God, who was with God, who was God. Notice that. Thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Now, look who this is. Look at the splendor. Look at the glory. Look at and think about the picture he could have presented when he came into this world. He could have been that king on a great white horse coming in to conquer Rome. But how did he enter Jerusalem? Wasn't a great king, was it? He was announced as a king. Hosanna to the king. They laid out the branches. But he was riding upon an ass, the common man's transportation. The Lord came as a common man. Aren't you thankful for that? I'm a common man. I like common things. Do you? That's what I enjoy so much. But listen now, Paul, who being in the form of God, the very essence of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made of himself, this is voluntary action, but made of himself no reputation. Well, now, Brother Griffiths, you need to study a little bit, and you'll really find out what that means. He emptied himself. Yeah, that's what it means. I've studied a little bit. But listen, you got the point, didn't you? If he had not emptied himself, he would have had a very, very big reputation. But he wasn't impressed with reputations. Now, reputations is what somebody else thinks about you. He had such a good reputation, they rejected him. And you know what he did, always, what Acts tells us he was always doing? Going everywhere, doing what?
Good.
Going everywhere, doing good. But he didn't have a real good reputation like that in the eyes of those who rejected him, did they? Because they wanted someone that had eye appeal. I want to ask you a question. Can we fall in that same trap? Can we fall in that same trap? You better believe we can. Watch this. But made of himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form, the very form, the very essence of a servant. Isaiah tells us all about that servant. He introduces him in the 42nd chapter, and he goes from many chapters there and goes all the way to the 53rd chapter, talking to us about that servant. And that servant had no form of comeliness that anyone was going to desire. No one accepted the Lord because the way he looked. Now let's just think about those questions I asked you first. Think about those these questions. If it was God's purpose to save as many as it was possible to save, why in the world, him being in the very form of God, would he lay that aside and come into this world in the form of the servant? And he showed us he was a servant. Go to Luke 22 and you'll find that he taught his disciples that he was a servant, and he illustrated it to them in John chapter 3 when he bowed down and washed their feet. He taught what greatness in the kingdom of God was, and it's down and it's not up. It's not eye appeal, but it's knee power. That's greatness in the church of God. If it was God's purpose to save as many as it was possible to save, why in the world would he come into this world as he did? He could have been so impressive. He could have impressed everybody. But he didn't choose to do it, did he? If salvation was man's personal decision, why did he come into the world as he did? Every one of them would have said, I accept you. But he didn't come like that, did he? Of course, there's a lot going in that decision. Have you ever just stopped and considered all that goes into making a decision? Do that sometimes and you'll really see some fallacies in that. I don't have time to get into it this morning. If God was offering personal wealth now and eternal savings later, have y'all heard any of those messages? Personal wealth now and eternal salvation later? I tell you what. They building some mighty impressive structures. They're gathering in some mighty large crowds of people. But I got a question. What word are they preaching? What word are they preaching? Are they preaching the beautiful things of the inside of the tabernacle, the ends which pictures the person and work of Jesus Christ? Or are they preaching themselves? Are they preaching eye appeal? If Christ's coming was an appeal to mankind, why would he have come into Jerusalem riding the transportation of the common man? I'm thankful for that. I like to go over in Zechariah and study that, you know, and all those passages. Now, Zechariah gives us two pictures there. He gives the meek and lowly in chapter 9, but in chapter 12, he presents a glorious, does he not? You know the reason they rejected Christ? They read about that glorious Messiah, but they rejected the suffering Messiah. But my friends, before you can have the glory, you must have the suffering first. The suffering must come first. When you're out of the throne of grace, please remember your prayers.